the prophet of Malachi for you. Happy for that this morning. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for other. He's here this morning to do for you. Just worship Him and invite Him in. Oh, I worship Him. I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, I worship Him. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes this morning. Oh, He's all I need. Yes, He's all I need. Jesus is all that I need. Oh, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one with us. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Thank the Lord for mothers. Remember the sermon quiz downstairs? There's still a few of them down there for the youth. If you hadn't picked yours up, make sure you pick it up. Downstairs on the table. There's 4 or 5 left down there, so somebody's not getting them. Somebody's not listening to me, which is normal. So just remember that. Sister Anna Kennard gave me one. Says, remember Brother Dean Gibby? He's going back to the doctor on Tuesday. He's having problems with his back, I'm sure. And Sister Johnny won't, and Brother Darty won't be here. Sister Johnny is, her legs are swelled up. So remember Sister Johnny with a special prayer. They were watching in. Also, Sister Jeannie is going to have carpal tunnel surgery on Wednesday. Remember her in prayer. So remember Sister Jeannie will be getting some surgery. Brother Larry will have to do the cooking and the cleaning for a while. So pray for him too. And for her having to eat his food. So remember that also. Brother Mark? Amen. Remember Brother Mark? We're glad to see him back. That's one thing I was going to say. Just remember to continue blessing him, give him strength. Just continue bless. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are still traveling. Brother Louise is traveling, interpreting for a brother there. Lord, be with him. Be with the sick. We also forgot to mention little Sophia sick at home, Lord. Remember her and bless her. And Lord, let her overcome this sickness. And all the other ones that we're praying for, Brother Dean, Sister Johnny, Brother Darty, just bless them all, Lord. Be with them and guide them. Be with the rest of the service. Be with all the unspoken requests and help Dad and give him strength. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for you. Many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. If you will only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe now, Jesus. Is here. Jesus is here. For all things are possible. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And all Jesus is here. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the glassy sea? Time there'll be. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea?
Mark, would you come this morning and
lift the morning tithes and offering?
Yes, Lord. We ask for your blessings today, Father, on all the times. It may be used for your precious glory, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
God, you come today, Father. Help us all to live the life, Father, that's pleasing and to manifest.
Yes, Lord.
Bless Brother Sam. Strengthen him to bring the message, Father. And he will receive all that you have for us today. We ask in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Could you, let's turn to page 42 in the Spiral Songbook if you have it near you. Amen. Feel like traveling on this morning? My heavenly home is bright and fair. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Nor pain, nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. Oh, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling.
Like Jesus.
to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. Is that your desire this morning? Oh, through life's journey, from this earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him, just to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth alone, to be like Him. All through life's journey, from this earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger, oh, came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like Him. My faithful Savior, how rich His favor. On earth I long to be like Him, just to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from this earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him, serene and holy, obedient and lowly, on earth I long to be like Him. By grace forgiven, I'm an heir to heaven. On earth I long to be like Him. Oh, just to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. I only ask to be like Him. Amen. What a desire to not just be like Him, but to be Him made manifest. Amen. Let's stand this morning as we sing that chorus once more, as we ask Brother Colley to come for the responsive reading this morning.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from this earth to glory.
blessed and happy to be here and thankful. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And a good mother is a great thing to have. Amen. From generation to generation, it grows up and gives us strength that we may raise the next generation. Amen. So we thank God for you. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that you've given us this opportunity to come together to worship. Father, we're thankful that you put a desire in our heart, Lord, that we would worship after you. We ask your Holy Spirit would abide in us, Lord, each and every day. God, for when we are weak, Lord, we know that you give us strength. Father, we ask you just continue to bless us and to strengthen us. Open up our knowledge, Lord, that we may receive and be blessed. God, we ask you to bless all of these in the building, Sunday school, Lord, even up to here, Lord, in the sanctuary. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale to bring forth the word unto us, Lord, and bless our hearts that we may be surrendered and to hear the words that he ministered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
And gathereth them out of the land that from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in.
Hunger and thirst is their souls fainting in them.
And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron.
Because they rebel against the words of God and condemn the counsel of the Most High.
Therefore, when he brought them their hourly labor, they fell down and there was a man of the hell.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men.
For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut out the bars of iron asunder.
Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted.
Their soul bore forth on the money of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let their sacrifice be sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. I remember my aunt, she told me a testimony one time. She was in the meetings there in Jeffersonville when Brother Brown was preaching, and they went back to the hotel, and she had like a tumor on her foot, and she was pulling her stocking off and noticed the tumor was gone. And it was there before the service, and afterwards it was gone. And she said that scripture came to her that the Lord sent his word and healed them. So whatever you have need of this morning, he has sent his word out. You just take it by faith. He's here to meet our needs. Let's turn to page 354 and sing this chorus before Brother Dale comes out this morning. Are you thankful for the blood of Christ this morning? Amen. I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. And I have a source of power from above. Oh, I'm covered over by a shield of love. Are you thankful for that? Oh, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. And I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. There's a healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only his redeemed can know. And I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood. Let's just lift our hands and just claim all we need. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Let's all stand. Oh, I claim the blood. Just think about your loved ones shed on Calvary. He's here to meet every need. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Amen. Aren't you glad we have that atonement we can go to boldly and ask to our Father whatever we have need of? Amen. Let's change the order of the service this morning as Brother Dale comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. See you.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
High and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen and amen. See him, don't you? A wonderful day, wonderful time to be able to just walk right into his presence and to see him, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We have not a visitor with us back there. She's been here before, so she's welcomed. But glad to have you with us this morning. Always good to see everybody. Remember the announcements. Brother Luis is, what is he, down at Brother Tony's, either that one or the other. He's interpreting today, so remember him and I'll do that. And glad to have Brother Mark back with us and get him kind of over this sickness and things. Glad to do that. We're glad to be. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and everything, and we just appreciate you. As the old saying goes, without your mothers, there wouldn't be any fathers. So that's a good doing. All right, remember, the fellowship meeting now will be this coming Saturday at Brother Pageant's. He's got a brother coming in from, I think it's, Arizona. Well, I'm not certain. He's got a brother coming in. Never heard his name or nothing. But anyhow, he's a new guy and a new brother in the message. And what he's doing, he's starting a new work. And there are people helping him to give him things and all. And we will try to, you know, if you have anything you want to give the brother to help in doing his church and getting it started, then if you'll just give it to me, we'll be glad to take it to him and show him our love and things and try to help him. He's already got a good many things doing it, but he needs some more things to try to get a church started. So, you know, if you have anything, let me know, and we'll take it to it. Okay. That all the announcements, I guess, for right now. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for your love. Thank you for being you. And we just ask you to help us, Lord, today to understand, to be guided by your grace and your love, Lord, that we may see you walk among us, because that's our desire more than anything else, is to lift you up and let you receive the honor and glory for all things. We love you and we thank you. Guide each one. Remember the sick ones, Lord. We know that Brother Addison there is still having problems with his blood and a different thing. You just be with him and touch him. And Lord, Brother Al, he's here with us, but just touch him and bless. And many others that are sick among us. Sister Johnny, remember Brother Darty, all the different ones that are sick. Just touch each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. going to our, I got a prayer cloth here for us to cut up with a toothpick. Need that. I do like weights to behind my ear. Yeah. But remind us to cut up the prayer cloth because we're running low on. Yes. Okay. Ephesians 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now remember the point we keep emphasizing. Verse 5, he says, by grace you're saved. Now he's adding more to the thought to open up our understanding and saying, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. So if you want to, we'll go over to Hebrews 4, read verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now remember our thought on that. Dividing asunder, piercing. It's not piercing, it's dividing. It's separating. The word of God, and I hope you'll catch that today in the message to see how it worked with the prophet, that as the word unfolds, it will define the difference between positions or places or things, you know, and all like that. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we tried to bring a thought there Wednesday to kind of get where we're trying to get to in our point of what we're trying to cover. And we've been talking about, now say by grace through faith. Now, I hope you listen to what I'm saying instead of trying to, well, I don't know what he means. He doesn't mean he, you know, no, listen. It's by grace, unmerited favor, but it's through faith. In other words, by faith, a journey of a Christian is walking, yes, by faith in the Word of God, but it's really through that faith because it, once it starts, it never stops. See, when your Christian journey started, you know, you believe in on the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Now, if that was genuine, it'll never stop. And it'll continue on, even when we leave out of this world, going into the eternities, and do as the prophet said, we'll have a message of cheer. He said to give us down through the endless ages. You know, it's not something to stop. That's my point. It's my thought I've been driving at for two or three services, that trying to get you to think about it. And see, we're bad to, you know, misunderstand the way things are stated because of our preconceived or pre-taught ideas. All right? Now, see, most people talk about salvation because that's what we've been dealing with. And, you know, they just say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm saved. What? If it's genuine, that's true. But remember, many believed, and it's not sincere. Okay? You can remember people you associated with in your times of seeing them start a journey and go for just a little bit and it'd be going good, and then all at once it just starts falling away. What happened? The faith didn't continue. Faith is a revelation. Right? And see, what is the new birth? Now, I'm going to get this point, and then we'll move into the message. What is the new birth? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. What did your prophet say? He said, what is the new birth then, Brother Branham? He said, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Well, I thought the birth was when I accepted Jesus Christ. You know, I done this. I shouted, I cried. I tried my best to get it across Wednesday for you to listen to that. I wish you'd listen. I've already heard it twice. It's not so good of a message, but there's one thing about it. I'd like for you to listen to it again. I wish you would listen to it again, you know, for your benefit. All right? Because I've done the best I could do to try to explain. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. We didn't know the new birth was a revelation, did we? Now, come on. Until we heard of the message, we didn't know anything about the new birth other than the basis of accepting Jesus Christ. Or I cried, I shouted, I spoke in tongues, I believe the word, I done this or that or the other. But are you listening? The Bible says being born again. Something in process going on. Being born again. And it says, by the incorruptible word of God. So what is the new birth? It's the birth of the word. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. Well, now, did that stop the day you accepted Jesus Christ? Or did it just start? It just started at that point, right? If it stops, then there's something wrong with you. All right? Well, see, it keeps unfolding. You know, I mean, the message of the hour is to bring Christ to each and every one of us. All right? But was you listening to the point I was trying to emphasize? See, we still think. Now, I'm just as honest as I can be and straight with you, and that way at least I ain't got to pick no bones or nothing. Probably 90% of you tonight, today are still thinking the same thing before you heard that message or any thoughts about it. Well, what is the new birth? I cried, I shouted, I spoke in tongues. I accepted Jesus. I believe this message. You don't listen. You take what you want and don't listen to the truth. Do you realize that the disciples were 3.5 years walking with the Lord Jesus, and it took that long for them to qualify to go to the upper room to have the experience of the new birth? See, that's where you don't believe it that way. You think they got to new birth when they believed. You're still in that old denominational ideas and concepts of what you're thinking, see. Well, you mean they wasn't saved? Saved is a word. That's why I'm using that word. The next message or two will pick up the emphasis on the word saved. Because I'm a firm believer, and the prophet taught it, that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But no, wait. Well, all right, we'll get to it. He said, your salvation is good as long as your confession. Okay, now you're going to argue with him. No, you're not going to argue with him, but you ain't going to listen to what I'm saying. You're going to cut it off, see. See, that's where our trouble is. 3.5 years. That it took the Lord Jesus to get the word sown into their hearts for them to have an upper room experience. And even twice there in the, it's in the last of Luke. It's in the, you know, that he says he opened their understanding of the scriptures. But that still wasn't a new birth. they had to go to the upper room to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, is that true? Well, then it took them 3.5 years to get it, and you think you got it in one whack. I don't mean that wrong, whack or languages. I mean, you just walked, you said, well, I just walked up and I just accepted Jesus Christ and I got it all at one time. Now, Brother Branham said, you want me to read it? Very few people will believe all the way to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, he just put it in that form. Very few people will believe all the way to receiving it. Well, you know what that means? The biggest portion of people are not going to believe all the way to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that what he said? Right. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you just scare us because here we thought we'd just that or the other. And you're trying to tell us that the new birth could take, I'm not trying to tell you. I'm trying to quote the Bible to you. The Bible is what tells you that Jesus taught 3.5 years to the disciples and they still didn't have the Holy Ghost as a new birth. I don't mean for you to raise your hand, but is that true? Well, then if that's true, then your new birth could be a process that would take a great length of time to complete it. And I'm not talking about adoptions. I'm not talking about growth development. I'm talking simply of the new birth. The baby form, as you'd call it. Getting the baby here. That's a journey. Well, we taught our children that. Maybe you ought to sit down and listen to what's being said and reteach them. Well, I'm just making it plain. Those disciples, we'll get back to the point. What does it take to make the new birth? Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? And it took 3.5 years for the disciples to get it. But see, you don't want to believe it that way. You want something that you can just whack on and that's it. You just got it and that's it. You can't tell me I ain't saved because I was there when I shouted and spoke tongues. Now your prophet is the one that said it, not me. That you claim to be. He said the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. See, if you'll take it that away and listen to what I'm saying, you'll see that the new birth starts when you start believing and never ends because as long as your believing is there, it will never end. It gets greater and greater and greater. Then you go into adoptions. Then you go into the stature of a perfect man. You got a lot to go. But I'm talking about just the point of believing Jesus Christ. Well, I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. Show that to me in the Bible. Show it to me in the prophet's message. Remember the scripture there. What is it? It's in Acts. Have you received the Holy Ghost? What? Since you believed. Well, I got it when I believed. I'm not going to say you didn't. I'm not going to say you didn't. That's between you and God. Because I can't tell you you're lost. But I can tell you what the new birth is. And if you ain't got it that way, then that's between you and God. Yeah, but we need to teach our children what? That they need a new birth. Come on, I know what you sit around and talk about. You sit around and talk about we need some simpler things taught to our children. How much more simpler it can be than you must be born again. I'm serious. I know I'm hateful, arrogant, everything in the book. But I'm serious to one thing. I'll give you the pulpit, man, woman, or what, and let you explain the new birth. I'd really like to hear you. And we don't start Sunday or Wednesday. I'd like to hear what your definition of a new birth is. But you see, you ask me, so, well, Brother Dale, now you tell us, all right, I'm going to tell you what the prophet said. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, then we can go from there. The Bible says being born again. The Bible does not teach that you get eternal life the day you believe. It teaches, have you received eternal life after you believe? But Brother Dale, you're making it to the point that I don't believe I'm born again. Hey, come on, I done told you over and over. I would to God I could preach that everybody in this building and me too would find out they're lost, and then we can do something about it. I'm serious. This is not no plaything. This is not something to... I'm concerned with your soul. But do you even know anything whatsoever about the new birth other than the fact of, well, I'm serious. Where have you ever heard it taught? I'm asking you. And then you get arrogant with me and, well, you think you're pop. You think you're this, that, the other. I don't think nothing except one thing. You tell me where it's taught in this message that it takes you 3.5 years to get the new birth. Come on, show me one message. Show me one person. Well, it don't take 3.5 years. It took the disciples 3.5 years. And they were walking with the Lord Jesus day by day with the Word, hearing it, seeing the dead raised, the sick healed, everything that could take place for 3.5 years. And they wind up in the book of Acts after then seeing Jesus after he's raised and seeing him and come in the book of Acts about 1 and 8, somewhere right in there, and said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? They had already had their understanding open to the scriptures. The Bible says that. See, there's nothing you can put it on of saying I've got the new birth except one thing, the birth of the Word. What else can you put it on? Well, what about it? So yeah, but I just got the Holy Ghost. I just accepted it, and I just got the Holy Ghost, and I've got the new birth. And ain't no way you can tell me I ain't got it. I ain't trying to. I'm just trying to tell you to make sure you got it. But I'm asking you, do it fit the Bible? We're talking about Bible terminologies. We're not talking about what we've been taught. Well, I think you need to teach simple things. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. How much more simple can you get? Have you taught your children that they need to repent of their sins? And what happens and what takes place? Have you taught them they need to be sanctified? Have you taught them that they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because if not, they're not born again. It's through faith that you're traveling in a journey. And that journey could take you 2 minutes or 10 years or ever whatever to go through that journey. I'll accept it. I've always been open. You say, I got the new birth, Brother Dale, right at one time. I'll accept that. If you'll accept one thing. If you'll show me that that new birth has always been agreeing with the Word, I'll go a long way. But I'm going to have to quote what the prophet said. Very few people is going to believe all the way to receiving it. Now, he ain't saying this at any time. I used to quote that as a thing until I finally looked it up. He said, you know, I used to think that it was a little different, but I got it here with me. You, are you placing your whole salvation upon some thought or idea? Well, I've got everything I got based on whether Brother Branham was a prophet or not. What about it? He was the one that taught these things. You're going to tell me you believe that every word the prophet, you're going to tell me that you believe Brother Branham was a prophet all the world, that he was a God-sent prophet, and then you don't agree with what he taught? Come on, church. You don't agree with his understanding of the new birth? You don't accept the way that he teaches you must be born again? No, I always was eternal. I don't need salvation. I always was eternal. See, that's where we're going. You're quoting the same man. Taking the same man and making him, twisting it to what you want it. What about it? What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Well, I didn't know it was a revelation. You do now. Okay? That's where we solve the problem. You do now. Now you know, and now you have to agree that the prophet was right. Is that your evidence? Your evidence of whether you're born again or not is whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Now, are you agreeing with what he's saying? That the new birth is the birth of the Word. Are you agreeing with it took 3.5 years for the first church to get to the new birth? And I thought maybe there was a quote there where that the prophet said if he ever does anything one way, he has to do it the same way every time. Now, I thought that was in there. You see, church, that's what we try to do, everything I try to cover. And I know you think that I just beat you and hammer you and holler at you. Well, one more time, and we'll move on. You're saved by grace through faith. Your Christian journey starts, and if it never ends, it is the Word of God. If it ever ends anywhere, your journey, something went wrong. When it comes to the basis that we can't agree with everything the prophet said, Oh, we're definitely not going to open up and say we don't believe what Brother Branham says. But we'll keep that to ourselves, what we believe. Okay? Now think about it. Salvation is the word for, we call it sozo, it means deliverance. It's got many definitions in the parts because it's under the way that it's to be brought to understand. And it has a beginning. It starts with you as you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we'll finish one day in a change of the body and taking us into a total eternity, a state of eternity, body, spirit, and soul. All right. Now, but do we believe those things? Okay. I know it won't be, I can't take the whole thing, so I'll carry the part of the thought, pick it on up Wednesday. You see, Brother Branham, I've talked this over and over for 40 years, so don't get all scared and hopped up about it. Just listen and see whether it's right or not. Brother Branham in his early ministry, he taught, basically, of you being a triune being. Not a trinity of beings, now a triune being. Body, spirit, soul. It takes that to make the human being. He said, without one of those things, you're not complete. In other words, if you don't have a body, then soul and spirit don't work. If you don't have a soul, spirit and body don't work. It's got to be a unit made up of body, spirit, and soul. Okay? And there's where that we have to decide, because we're going to have to figure out where your new birth starts from. All right? So we got the quote from the prophet that it'll start from the inside and work its way out. I know that's on the Easter seal or Easter, like it's right. Anyhow, it'll start from the inside and work its way out. Because you don't start on the outside. You got to start believing. No, that won't do you no good. What you got on the outside ain't to contact God. I'm quoting Brother Branham. What's on the outside is not to contact God. That's just to contact the world. That's see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Right. But see, you're a triune being. Your body has the five senses to contact the world. Your second realm of you has five senses, which is memory, reason, conscience, affections, etc. Right. And then the third realm are the center of mankind, as only one realm of that or one thing. It's either, you can call it two if you want to, because the prophet does, but then he'll call it one, because it's what it is. It's either faith or doubt. We're either controlled by faith or doubt on the inward part of us. Your new birth starts at that point. It doesn't start in your body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear has nothing to do with it. It can't start there. Well, I got to hear it. I got to. No, God can speak to you. But see, you're a triune being. Right. Now, I've tried for 40 years to get this across, and it's been a long, hard drive to try to get it. In the early ministry of Brother Branham, he basically taught of a triune being, but this is the way he taught it. But I'll read it to you. That you're a triune being, that you're body, soul, and spirit. And I said the basics of his teaching was a triune being of body, soul, and spirit. Then through the opening of the word, which is Hebrews 4:12, the word dividing the difference between soul and spirit to show you what it is, from then on he taught body, spirit, and soul. Oh, you're trying to correct. I'm out to correct. I ain't that stupid, and I hope you ain't. Brother Branham was right in what he was teaching. We just can't put it together right. But it made mass confusion. It has made mass confusion in the message. A lot of you know or heard the doctrine called two souls. That was an old doctrine there in the 70s, and it's still prevalent around the world, especially in the foreign fields. Wade and them's run into it in the Philippines and the things. It's still prevalent. It still runs its route. There's still people over there shooting that doctrine. Of two souls. And in teaching it the way they did, they had to have the soul as the second realm of man and not the center. Well, I don't know what this means. Well, if we don't know what we are, how do you know what the new birth is? See, we start at stage two. If you don't have, what is the new birth? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Where does he reveal himself to? Does he reveal himself to you in your body? Or is it your spirit? Or is it your soul? Or what is it? Then, like I said, the prophet in his early ministry, his basic teaching was body, soul, and spirit is the center realm. But then when he comes in to pass it on and gets up, we'll read it. When he comes to greatest battle ever fought, on after that, if you'll really get in that message and get serious with him, you'll see him going backwards and forth on the greatest battle ever fought. He's putting it down, and then he'll put it down, and he'll put it, then he'll bring it, and then he'll change his thought. And then but then after then, he always taught, and he gave the center realm first to be the soul, the second realm to be the spirit, and the first realm to be the body. Do you realize how important that is? How important is it to know the difference? Because the two soul people won't talk to you about the spirit. They got to talk to you about the soul. The word spirit and soul in your, even in your Strong's concordances and your Bible, well, what you call them, it's basically the same word. Soul and spirit can be used as the same word. But we need to find out where the new birth's at. Where are you born again at? Well, see, that's what, Brother Taylor, you just make it so complicated until you're making it mass confusion to us. Where's the mass confusion? Or is it complicated to understand? Where is it complicated to understand enough to know that Hebrews 4:12 tells you that the word of God would open and would divide between soul and spirit, or separate it enough to where you could understand it. Anointed ones was not taught until 64, 65, right in there. 65, I think, is what it is. An anointed one teaches you could be anointed on your spirit and still be lost. That's what your prophet taught. Do you believe that? Well, look, then, if you believe that, you just messed up. Because you put yourself into a trap. Because if I told you then the soul was the center rim of you, you've got to admit that the spirit anointing is on a second rim of you and not the center rim of you. And though, then you better get the soul as the center rim. Because if you get the spirit as the center rim and make that the real you, you just made yourself an anointed one. Well, I don't get it. Right. Let's read a little bit. It won't take too much. And we'll go on Wednesday with it. I love the Word of God, don't you? And Hebrews 4:12 said that Word would open. Listen, I don't believe the Word was open to the prophet when he first came. I don't believe that now. Now, what he knowed before when he first comes, a whole lot more than me and you want to know, right, or know about. All right, we'll go along with that. But yet, he would teach things that was wrong. But that's what's so mass confusing. If you want to get confusing, let's get real confusing. His early ministry, it was body, soul, and spirit. In his last ministry, it was body, spirit, and soul. But the what he taught was exactly right. Well, there's a difference there. That's where you're confused. You see, Brother Branham always gave the outside body, the body, five senses. The second realm of mankind, he didn't matter where he called it, spirit or soul, he always taught early ministry, late ministry, all the way through the ministry, he always taught the second realm was memory, reason, conscience, affection. He always taught the center realm had one sense, either faith or doubt. No matter what he called it, he was right. You say, well, boy, that's... It'll solve a lot of doctrines if you'll just believe that. But it'll divide the word open to the prophet coming down through time. In his early ministry, as I said, he taught body, soul, spirit. Then he teaches body, spirit, and soul. So in his early ministry or his late ministry, one of the two, he changed his thought. That was the opening of the word. Because like I said there a moment ago, and you did at least look at me about it, anointed ones has got to be based upon whether the anointing is on your spirit or not. Because if you're going to put it on the center rim of you and be anointed ones, you are in bad shape and totally out. Forget it. Go home, eat, drink, and be merry. You don't know what in the world is going on. So Hebrews 4:12 is right. As the word unfolded to the prophet, he didn't have to change You just change wording. Now I'm going to tell you just as plain as I can tell you. I believe God done it that way. To make it to where that it would be mass confusion. And people wouldn't understand. You say, you mean God do that? Yeah, one time it talks about there in the Bible, you know, that he send this among you and does that among you and you know, confuse you. You mean God would do things to confuse us? The Bible says he will. So it leaves it up to us to know what's right. And let's read one more scripture. Go ahead with number one. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we now? A triune being, not a trinity of beings, a triune being. Human being is, he has a spirit, he has a soul, and he's got a body. Better way of saying it, that's what it really is. All right, are you with me now? Are you following that? The Bible says that. That it takes those three to make the human being. It takes a spirit, a soul, and a body for you to be an alive human being. Without any one of them, you're lost. You're dead. You can't live without a soul. You can't live without a body. You can't live without a spirit. All of it's motivated and works together. All right? Now let's see if the prophet said that. Okay, go ahead to number two. Now they may have the wrong answer. I changed some of them, so if they do, I'll have to swap it. You got the right one. All right? Bring this on up where we can see. Now, a man is made up as a triune being, soul, body, and spirit. Now, the outside is the body. There's five gates to that body, and that's the five senses, of course. These taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, like the seed, he's talking about explaining, like a bean or seed, you know, how it opens, what? Like the seed that's planted, the inside of that is the pulp, like the seed, which is the soul. Now look at the date on this one. This is 62:119. This is when he's explaining body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Which is the soul. But now watch him. He gives that second round of senses. There is five gates to that. You enter into conscience and memory and so forth. But inside of that little compartment is the third compartment, which is the spirit. Okay? And that controls, and that's what controls the rest of it. There's only one avenue through that, and that's self-will. You can accept or turn away. That's the only avenue, see. The Spirit takes His place in, God's Spirit takes His place in your heart and controls the rest of you. All right. Now He's explaining. Under that He's explaining, because we're going to read the next one. He's teaching body, soul, and spirit. But He gives the senses. He gives the first the part body, the five senses, see, taste, smell, feel, hear. He gives the second realm, the memory, reason, the conscience, etc. He calls it the inside little compartment, the third compartment. He gives that one sense. It's either faith or doubt. All right? Now, according then, if we study the Bible from that point, if we hold the Bible from that point, we're going to run aground when we come to the anointed ones. Well, let's go ahead. Number three. It's Revelation of chapter 4, Jeffersonville. Huh? I want you to bring it on up. Wish I had a blackboard and could draw the courts. And he's talking about the courts and the rings and the outer and the inner and the, you know, the Holy of Holies, okay? Now, what is a man? He's a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. How many knows that? Watch God's approach. What is his heart? You remember in my message, God chooses a man's heart for his control tower. The devil chooses his head for his control tower. See, he makes him see things, look through his eyes, but God in his heart makes him believe things that he cannot see. Did he? See? God is on his heart, and the heart of man is the throne of God. You get it? What is it? Is it man? God made his throne in the heart of man. The first part of the man. Now he's going to explain three realms, right? First part of man is the body. The next part is soul. Alright? Come on. Which is the nature of his spirit that makes him what he is. He approaches the thing, the part of the man is his spirit. See, the third part of the man. So now he's explaining. Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? He's explaining that. And that's what he was teaching. Let's go on to the next one. 62 Phoenix, yeah. You got made up of soul, body, and spirit. The outside, which is the body, is controlled by five senses. You enter that body by five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Inside the body is a soul. That soul has five gates, conscience and so forth, memory. But inside of that is a spirit. That's what controls it all. There's only one gate to that, and that's free moral agency, the fact of receiving or to refuse. Okay? I'm reading these to where when we read the other ones, then you'll be sure to know what you're talking about. Go to the next one, which is the greatest battle. Now watch him on this. The greatest battle ever fought anchors it down. What he's teaching brings it up. Come on. He's talking about a seed. Has a shell on the outside, and the inside is the pulp, and the inside the pulp is the germ of life. You know what a bean, you got a seed, you got a shell, you got the center part. That's the way we're made. We are a body, soul, and spirit. The outside the body, the shell, the inside of that, the conscious and so forth, is the soul. And inside the soul is the spirit, and the spirit governs all the others. So now he's explaining his point, right? If you sit down when you get home and draw three little rings, you'll find out that the outside body has five senses. It's contacted by, and that is see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's the five senses that controls the human body. Inside of the body is a soul, and that soul is controlled by imaginations. Remember, soul, second realm. Controlled by imaginations, memory, reason, affection. That's the thing that controls the soul. But the spirit is only has one sense. The spirit, let's get it. The spirit has one sense, and that sense is either dominates it, is faith or doubt. And see, there's only one avenue to it. That's free moral agency. You either accept or reject. All right. Now, so we give four statements. The last one, he says, draw your little circle, you know, the three rings. Okay? Now pull that up. Brothers. Brother Joe and him made this for us years ago, and we've had it on. Then pull it up with the rings. Alright, so we labeled it like this. Before 63, which was before the opening of the seven seals, the word, he was teaching body, soul, spirit. After the 63, really it's technically over basically into crisis and revealed in his own word is about the first time he brings, which goes into 65. But then he teaches body, spirit, and soul. Huh? Now, which one of them's right? I contend they both are, because they're both explaining the same thing. Because he's explaining a three-ringed person, or a person with three rings. Now, in no way have I ever said Brother Branham was wrong. But man, we can stay for days on this if you want to stay with this one. This little booger right here before 63, the biggest portion of people of this message is still, and I say it back to you, most of you come through things and have still listening to things that are still covering the soul and the two-soul doctrine. You don't even believe it. Well, I don't think it's necessary to understand. You don't think it's necessary to understand what's right. All right, we're going to have water baptism this afternoon. We're going to baptize everybody in the building, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, no, you ain't doing that to me. Why? Because it's important, ain't it? Oh, but Brother Dale. Well, is it true? Where are we at? Now let's go to the first one that he comes to. So remember now, before it's body, soul, spirit. But remember, five senses for the body, five senses for the second rim, one sense for the center rim. It don't matter what you call it, it's the same thing. So he wasn't wrong. It was one of those hidden things to blind the eyes and has done a marvelous job. Because at one time in the 70s, especially into the 80s, your two-soul was the largest doctrinal issue in this message. And there's not any difference. Now, you're going to smile up and go back. There's not any difference in saying two souls than two lords. Oh, now, brother, you're getting over to brother so-and-so. What's the difference in two souls and two lords? The two-soul doctrine was that God give you a soul and the devil give you a soul. Well, I tried to tell him, I said, you're out to start with because Satan can't create. I mean, I talked to the man that started the doctrine. I don't have to call his name or nothing. Brother Collie can well remember where we were sitting at when it part of it was going on. Listen, church. He said, what's the importance of understanding? All right, let's see what the importance of understanding. We'll quit. That's for, okay, go ahead to number six. Which is Christ revealed in his own word. It takes a little while to transfer backwards and forwards. We understand. 1965, 8:22. Now, the first time that he basically mentions it, I'll read it to you in just a minute, is on And Knoweth It Not, which was the Sunday before, which was 8:15. And Knoweth It Not was basically the first one that he picks up. But here he comes to this. Now, brought this because of what he tells you to do. Last Sunday, when we were going into those cycles, circles, about how the five senses on the outer rim, that's the inlet, five senses to the body. Okay? There's only one way you can get into the body. That's by those five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. There's no other way to contact the body. On the inside of that man is a man called spirit. Now, second rim, now he's calling it spirit. On the other ones before, he was calling it soul. Come on, show the importance of it. Watch what he's doing. On the inside of that man is a man called spirit. These five senses, think, thought and love and conscience and so forth. All right. Now, you can't think with your body. You think with your mind. And then there is where too many of us Christians only stop. They can say, just like the corn in the field and the weed in the field, they can be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that the real believer is anointed with. But down on the inside of that next rim, the third rim, is the soul. The second rim is what he's just got through explaining as the rim of the spirit, memory, reason, conscience. Okay? Is the soul. Next rim, the third rim, is the soul. That's predestinated by God, and there's where the real seed germ lays, is in that. Okay? Go ahead and bring it on up. It's that anointed. Anointed with the real spirit. Now he's back. That Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit. Read it. But his soul is his germ. Now you got it. See? A spirit can fall upon a man's spirit. What did you just get through explaining? The second realm is the spirit realm. The anointed ones are anointed on their spirit. But the real soul is the germ. That germ is the word. And now I don't care how much you preach, how well you do this, how much you love, that's one of the inlets to the spirit. You can't love with your body, you love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do things, still not be right. Jesus said so. Said many would come in that day. Word settles it. What about it? What about it? You think it's important to understand the three realms of man and which one's correct? I do. Because if you're taking that spirit and make it an anointed, if you move that's fine. But if you move that spirit to that inner realm and make it anointed, you've got every one of us lost. Now you better believe that in a hurry. If that anointing is in that soul, you're lost. Our center realm, which is either faith or doubt, you're either saved or lost. There's where your new birth takes place, is in the soul. It can't take place in your body. It can't take place in your spirit. It takes place in the center part of you, which has only the faith or doubt, which is the soul. Right? What about it? I got about 9 more. But we ain't going to read them. We're going to just top off. But I know that it's boring to some people to try to understand the word. But if you'd ever listen one time to what I'm saying, do you believe in one God? Has that been revealed to you, that there's just one God? Can anybody talk you out of believing in one true and living God? It's very important for the word to be revealed. Now we're back to where we started. What? What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you, because it starts with the truth and will always be truth. That's why I don't understand the people of this message. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But for years I fought these doctrinal issues to try to get the people to see the truth. And you that have been here know that I've been over it and over it and over it and over it trying to get you to see. Where is your new birth? I didn't know where it was at. You Because Jesus said you must be born again. Did Jesus know the difference in body, spirit, and soul? Did Brother Branham know the difference? And I've listened, church, I've been so serious with you, you don't understand. That even in his early ministry, you have never heard me say he was wrong. But I was sitting in a meeting when the two-soul doctrine was being preached. And that's when God showed me the truth. The truth is, Brother Branham always taught five senses to the outside man, five senses to the second realm of man, and one sense to the inner center of man. No matter what he called it, body or spirit or soul, he was always teaching the same thing. He did not have to correct it. He was right. But you show me after the opening of the seals where he ever taught and put the soul and swapped soul and spirit. No? See, but you'll say, well, what does it matter as long as we're saved? How can you be saved if you don't know you're lost? Where's your salvation at? Is it in your body? It'd be good if it was. Is it in the spirit? It'd be real good if it was, because it'd get rid of a lot of junk. But it has to be in the center of man. The center of man, then, is the soul of man. Let me say one more thing to you. You think I try to correct Brother Branham? I try my best to get you to see how perfect he was and what's right. The Bible does not say souls in prison. It says the spirit. Brother Branham, when he read it, he put it soul. Right? The Bible says spirit. That goes to the spirits that were in prison. In the long-suffering of the days of Noah. Come on. The Bible calls it spirit. But around calls it soul. Was he correcting the Bible? Or was he just plainly telling what the Bible was saying? Well, see, it wouldn't matter if you throw the man's spirit in hell or what. It's going to hell anyway if you don't get born again. That's just plain language. But the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It don't say the spirit that sinneth. It says the soul that sinneth shall die. So if you're born again at all, it's got to be in the soul. So it doesn't matter if you change your memories and consciousness, whatever, it doesn't make a bit of good. It makes you a good Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Makes you a good person. But it don't convert you. Now how can you be converted if you don't know what the new birth is? I know this ain't going to go over, but I'm going to put it here anyway. See, that's why there's no way in the world that they'd accept me in any of these big places to teach what the new birth is, especially in these youth camps. Because in the youth camps, all they're teaching them is an emotional upworking and crying out and pleading toward God to be saved. And you go back the second year, they're teaching you the same thing again. They're not teaching you the truth. They're teaching you just to be emotionally built up, come to the altar, They get the children. They get some. They got to get these fast preachers and stuff. He gets them children's attention. But when they leave camp, do they lose what they brought? Children, do you bring home from camp what you found there is to be the truth? And some of you told me that there was doctrines there at those camps. I've never told you not to go. We pay the price of you in the registration. We've always done it. Because those children do get there and have a good time. But just when your children comes home, check with them about what was taught. See if the truth is taught. If not, that's your choice. Well, Brother Dale, you shouldn't say that. Why? I thought the truth is going to set us free. If you don't follow what I'm talking about, there's something wrong with you. Because so it's just like I said, we pay for your children to go. You know, their tuition. So it must look like that I'm not so dead set against all of this, that, or the other. I want these children to be happy and to enjoy themselves, but I want them to be Christians, born again believers, and accepting Jesus Christ and having a good time. Hey, you ain't gonna like this one. I don't care. Them kids gets together, at least there's one thing about it. They can pick them out a boyfriend or a girlfriend out of them camps. Oh, Brother Dale, you sure are messed up. You mean you don't want your children to be children? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to let your children go to the youth camps? Afraid they might get all messed up? Well, if you're that afraid, they're already messed up to start with. You ain't taught them what the truth is. If we teach our children the truth, I don't care where they go to. They'll be like it was one time. There was a certain sister was at a camp and all, and they was out there talking, and this guy walks up, and he said, and she was just talking away to the others that were standing there, and he said, I know where you go to church. He said, you do? I said, yeah. Did you go down to Brother Dale's church there in Georgia? He said, because I hear him talking through you. Well, come on. Hey, kids. When somebody at one of these camps starts bringing you a doctrine, face them with the truth. Tell them the truth. Right? You know, after a while, somebody ain't going to be popular. But you see, that's where you don't understand me. I try my best to get us all to be Christians. And to have a good time as being Christians. Come on, musicians. Come on. To have a good time as Christians. Why not? Why can't we get together and have little things, you know? And let the kids get out and play and hide Easter eggs. Y'all do that at Lula? Yeah, with money in them. Right, kids? We had to get deceiving about it because my wife heard one kid one time said, they said, we picked this and that, you got a lot of money. I said, yep. I said, you'll find out the big eggs have got the big money. So you know what? This last time, the little eggs had the big money. Why we be happy Christians? Why can't we have a good time? Well, I don't think Rudder Rattle would do. You want to stay all afternoon? You want to talk about Brother Branham and what he said? He said, now the sister says she's got some things out here for you. The little kiddies here for Christmas, you know. Oh, you mean Brother Branham doesn't have time? Yeah. Yeah. You mean Brother Branham went out and got a Christmas tree and put it up? Yeah. See, Brother Branham was a human. That's what caught me, how soft in the heart the mellowness of the man was to tell us the truth, but yet so hard to scream out against us, to try to save us from ourselves. Bless God, you ain't going to do that tonight. Well, that's no problem. We don't have to the public. We don't have Santa Claus to come around at Christmas. Not up here and jingle bells and all this and Christmas trees all over the building. No. But we do go downstairs and eat together and fellowship together and pass out gifts. And have a good time. Why? Because it's all good. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden, and meet the load of guilt.
Anybody have a need, y'all?
And shame. In the hand of Jesus, touch me.
Are you born again?
And
you know where that born again experience starts.
I am no longer the same.
Well, I've accepted Jesus Christ. That's all I knew.
Oh, he touched me. Oh,
come on, you're not listening.
He touched me.
3.5 years of the stifled hurt of the Lord Jesus.
And oh,
and it didn't save
the
one
joy
of them.
That floods my soul.
They had to go to the upper room.
Something happen, and now
all it done was set a stage for him to go.
He touched me and made
me whole. Have you ever been
justified?
I didn't know even what the word was.
And
you ever been sanctified?
I met this blessed
Savior. No, I just got the baptism. You can't get the baptism without being justified and sanctified.
He cleansed
and
made me whole.
Come forth with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
I
didn't know I had to be justified.
Cease to praise him.
I didn't know I had to be sanctified. Well, then, where have you been?
I'll shout it while eternity goes. Oh, he touched me.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and your love unto us. And we just ask you to help us, to give us understanding. And Father, to help us to see where we are and what we're doing. And to see the day and the time. We love you, Father. And just help us. Forgive our sins, cleanse us and guide us. And keep us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden,
chain. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. This blessed Savior, since he came and cleansed and made me whole, oh, I shall never cease to praise him, for I'll shout it while eternity. Touch me and know the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know he touched me and made me whole.